Blog Talk Radio.
Real sports guy. People's Radio. It's all that jam in your headphones. Allow me to introduce
the illustrious Queen Anne Hoops. Marcus the Game Changer. The Seventh Jackson. D. Will. The Ill Executive. He's like Suge Knight without the anger management issues. Phil T, the sports PhD. This dude is coming at you from all angles. He's got all the bases covered. There's not a whole lot about sports this brother don't know.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Featuring Ray, Justin Page, Eric Hamilton.
R&D fam is like, woo. Now, I blame it on Nintendo.
It's definitely a gin party around here. Definitely a gin party.
Don't bring any Kool-Aid.
You don't get no better than this, baby. I want winners.
You guys act like it. Pick it up a little bit. Okay? Get your chin up. Smile. Smile. Anybody can be beaten.
Don't get no more realer.
Well, 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 welcome to the NBA, RSG NBA preview. We got an hour here. This is almost like one of those heavyweight fights. It's like in the Barclays Center. We got two of the best analysts on the airways here today to talk about NBA basketball, and this is going to be a hot hour. This is where you need to be. Don't get off ESPN and all these other places. This is where it's all happening. And in one corner, I got my man, the Game Changer. How you doing? I think the Game Changer is here. He's on hold on me. And then we got Justin. You in the house?
Well, I'm here. I'm not just
okay.
But the Game Changer is in the house.
Game Changer is in the house. So you're in the house.
Game Changer in the house. Yeah.
I was doing my intro.
I was doing my little intro handshake. You know, the NBA kind of cut down on the amount of time that we have for our intros. You know, I was doing my powder toss, you know, lacing up my shoes, doing a little Sammy Sosa kiss my heart thing. And it just took a little while, but I'm here. I'm here. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to get it done tonight.
Yeah, you pull your socks up, though? Did you pull your socks up?
Yeah, you know, I pull my socks up, strapped on my ankle braces. You know, I had to tilt my headband at a 78.6 degree angle, and I'm ready to rock.
And we will see if we got Justin in the house. Is Justin in the building?
We definitely got Justin Page in the building. Let me ask y'all, we waited for Game Changer for 30 seconds. Can I rant for 30? Can I get 30 seconds on the clock?
You got 30 seconds.
Okay, real quick. I'm online right now looking at a very trustworthy source, freethesportsman.com. Got NBA top 50. I'm going to run through the top 25 just real quick. Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, D. Wade, Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Derrick Rose, Deron Williams, Kevin Love, Dirk Nowitzki, Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, Rajon Rondo, Andrew Bynum, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, Paul Pierce, Paul Gasol, Steve Nash, last of the top 25, Chris Bosh, Joe Johnson, Al Jefferson, Josh Smith, Amari Sotomayor, Tony Parker. I could go through the whole 50 and not find James Harden's name on that list. Just to recap from last week, let's go.
Uh-oh. Man, that discredits that list right there. That is not a reputable source, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. We're already started. This is going to be crazy. This is crazy. We're already started. Well, I will say this. If y'all know, if you listened last week, it was crazy. We're going to get into a great hour of NBA preview. We got some important stuff going on. We're going to talk about the top four contenders and Game Changer, and Justin will give their top four contenders. We're going to be talking about the teams on the rise in terms of those teams that are making moves this year. We're going to be talking about the top five players who are going to leap from good to great. And that's going to be interesting. And for you fantasy gurus, that's going to be a good thing to be thinking about. And then Justin is going to give us the top eight in the West, and Marcus is going to give us the top eight in the East. And then they're going to do our onions for y'all who know about that onion segment, you know, those bold predictions. They're going to give two bold predictions for the 2012-2013 season. And we're going to talk about much more. You never know where we're going to go, but that's what we're planning to do. So we're going to jump right into it because we only got an hour. We're going to make it go. I'm going to go to you, Game Changer. Talk to me about your top four contenders for the title.
All right. Now, Justin may have taken a different approach. We really didn't lay it out. We just said give us the top four contenders. I take the approach that the Heat are the champs. So when I'm talking about contenders, I'm talking about possible challenges to the throne. We know the Heat, they locked in. That's the champ. So I'm not counting the Heat and my four contenders because they're in the mix. They're not a contender. They're for real. So possible people who could challenge and dethrone the Heat. My number one contender, the Oklahoma City Thunder. My number two contender, the Los Angeles Clippers. My number three contender, the Boston Celtics. My number four contender, the Los Angeles Lakers, in that order.
Justin, I'm going to let you put your top four contenders, and then I'm going to let y'all talk about each other's list. So, Justin, why don't you give your top four contenders to the throne?
First off, I got to ask, did he just go Mama D from Love & Hip Hop? Atlanta, and in that order. He hit him with in that order, ladies and gentlemen.
Only an ATLian would even recognize that.
Well, I would like to commend Game Changer on his approach. However, I don't care what happened last year. Therefore, I do have the Miami Heat in the contenders to win the title this year. With that said, I like everybody that the Game Changer named, minus the L.A. Clippers. They will always be second fiddle to the real team in L.A., which is that of the Los Angeles Lakers. And the top four contenders, and who will be in the final four for the NBA, are the Miami Heat against Boston in the East, and the Los Angeles Lakers against OKC in the West.
So you said the Miami Heat against the Celtics, and then
correct.
Los Angeles against OK City.
Correct.
Well, Marcus, I will give you the floor on his list. What's your reaction to how he approached this?
He talked about the Clippers. That's where I'll start with the Clippers, since that's where we kind of differ. Right now, I think the Clippers are, if you go starting five for starting five, I think the Lakers might have a slight edge. If you go starting five for starting five, the Lakers have a slight edge. CP3 over Nash, Kobe over anybody. Gasol and Blake, we'll see about that. I think that's a push. Howard over Jordan. I think Jordan's improving, though. The small forward spot is the small forward spot against those teams, I think, where there's a lot of debate. And that's where the Lakers are finished. I think those two teams are going to battle in that Pacific Division. I think the Clippers are deeper, and I think the Clippers are going to come out as a higher contender than the Lakers. I think the Lakers are going to do well. I think they're going to be in the mix all season. I think they're going to be, again, one of the top five teams in the league. But I think the Clippers have an advantage in their depth, bringing in Odom, bringing in Jamal Crawford, bringing in Grant Hill to go with Caron Butler. They still have Eric Bledsoe who's developing. DeAndre Jordan looks like he's taking a step forward in his development, starting to develop some post moves, starting to develop a post game. That team, I think, is a better team than Los Angeles has. Los Angeles has a great – the Lakers have a tremendous starting five. After that, it's really up in the air what you're going to get from the rest of that squad. We'll see what Antoine Jameson still has left in the tank. I'd imagine there's going to be stretches of the season where he's not going to be available. The rest of that Laker team, I'm not sold on. You got Duhon coming in, which is a nice pickup. He's an effective backup guard, but I don't think he's hit a jump shot in a couple years. So I have the Clippers overtaking the Lakers because, you know, we want to talk about Kobe's grit. Kobe said it himself. CP3 is probably the only other player in the league that's cut from the same cloth as Kobe. And I think CP3 is actually going to have complete control over this squad, whereas Kobe is trying to figure out this whole dynamic with Nash controlling the ball more. Now he's not going to have 100% control, but he's going to have control of the ball more than any other point guard Kobe's ever played with. And then also having the presence of Dwight Howard in the mix, and how is that going to all mesh and all gel? The Clippers are going to fall in line. Their roles are more defined for that team. They know who's the leader. They know who's the alpha. Everybody else just needs to get in where they fit in and make it happen. And I think that's going to allow them to excel quicker than the Laker team that's going to have to figure out all these different star dynamics and still is not as deep.
Okay. Justin, any remarks or any rebuts to kind of how Game Changer laid that out?
Well, first and foremost, I never want to come off as argumentative. I'm the nice guy of the show.
How I like to
consider myself. However,
and people don't want to hear us agree now. This ain't Obama and Mitt Romney.
I would have to
talking about submarines and aircraft carriers.
I would tell you how much I appreciate Game Changer's in-depth analysis of the two Los Angeles teams, Big Brother and Little Brother, as I like to call them. But I'm extremely flabbergasted with his approach to this debate, okay? Now he's telling me the Lakers' bench is depleted, essentially, with Chris Duhon being a nice pickup. Chris Duhon is the third best point guard on that team. Steve Blake, who hit big shot after big shot last year, is way better than Chris Duhon. So Chris Duhon is getting time and Blake gets hurt. And then he broke down position by position, and he took out the two-time MVP. He just dismissed him as if, you know, he's an afterthought and Chris Paul is that much better than him. Yeah, he's got the grit, but what has Chris Paul won? He's never been an MVP. He's rarely been a first-time All-NBAer. Hell, he's as fragile as the day is long. So I'm not just giving the point guard edge to Chris Paul like Game Changer is. I think that's a wash. I think Kobe over whoever they start, Caron Butler, Jamal Crawford, who's been a journeyman in this league, I think Kobe's got him beat entirely. You look at the small forward position where he said the Lakers are light at. I like Meta World Peace. He's a glue guy. He's that guy. He's a defender. He's going to intimidate the other team's small forward and or best player to take them out of their game. I like Meta World Peace at the three, and I like Twan backing him up as a six man. As you recall from last week, I picked Antoine Jameson as a formidable candidate for the six man of the year. Therefore, to say that their bench is depleted and that they're weak at the small forward position is blasphemous. Antoine Jameson averaged a double-double last year in Cleveland, and I got a feeling he's going to do close to the same this year. Let's go to the power forward position with Blake and Powell. Yeah, Blake is on the rise. Yeah, he's got a little bit more heart than Powell. But what you're forgetting about is the person backing both Steve Nash and Paul Gasol up when they're weak, and that's Dwight Howard guarding the basket. Dwight is hands down the single best big man in the game. Therefore, he's going to make up for any inefficiencies the Lakers have on the wing or on the block, and Dwight will guard that basket like it's nobody's business. Lakers, hand down, are the best team in Los Angeles and in the Western Conference.
All right. So, okay. Now, when you start off your argument, you're talking about Steve Blake, we got a problem. Because remember, they brought in Ramon Sessions to start over Steve Blake last season. You know who Ramon Sessions is the starting point guard for this year? The Charlotte Bobcats. Come on now. Come on. He couldn't beat out the starting point for the Charlotte Bobcats, but I'm supposed to respect this dude? No. No. Steve Blake's an afterthought as far as I'm concerned. But if you mentioned one guy, you mentioned one and a half guy off the bench. All right? You talked about Jameson and Steve Blake. So I'm going to give you one and a half on that. All right? Because, again, both of those dudes are going to miss extended periods of time with injuries. They both have all their careers. Jameson did not average a double-double last year.
How come he did?
He's a good player. He's a good player. But he's also long in the tooth, man. He's not what he was. He's just not. He's not the same guy. Again, he's a decent player. He's never been a defender, which is what they need. He's never been a defender. He shot 40% from the field last season. I mean, he's about to be 36. So he's going to help, but I'm not counting on him to log major minutes. I think they're expecting Jordan Hill to give them more minutes than they're expecting out of Jameson. I just don't think that they have the depth. They're going to be good, but when you get up to the top, when you get up to the top of the league, the Lakers could easily win 60 games. They could easily win 60 games. But when you get up to the top of the league, when you get into the playoffs and you get into competing against a team in a seven-game series, they don't have enough they don't have enough pieces to play that chess game that you have to play as a coach in the playoffs. Well, you need to be able to – that's what got the Heat over the hump with the Thunder, was that they could put out interesting, different lineups that the Thunder couldn't match up with, having Lamar Odom, having the versatility of a Grant Hill, having a Jamal Crawford. Those are three guys that can all play three positions that you can bring that are complementary pieces, not even the main guys. They're not counting on either of those guys to drop 20 on a nightly basis. Those are all complementary pieces. They can bring in and have them create matchup problems in a seven-game series. And as an opposing coach, you got to figure out how to deal with that, plus dealing with CP3, plus dealing with Blake Griffin. Now, the other piece, you followed up your Steve Blake comment talking about Steve Nash over Chris Paul. Steve Nash,
I said push.
Two-time MVP.
I said push.
That's not a push. That's not even a push. Steve Nash can't guard Chris Paul. Repeat those words. Steve Nash cannot guard Chris Paul. Chris Paul can guard Steve Nash. Chris Paul is a better player today. That's not a push. In that game, Chris Paul wins that matchup, period. You talk about careers. All right, we got to look at a bigger context. Maybe that's a push. When we were talking about 2012, from end of October to the beginning of June, to the end of June, Chris Paul is a better player. Right now, I'm taking Chris Paul over Steve Nash, and I'm not hesitating. Chris Paul would eat Steve Nash's lunch and take his lunch money and take his mama's lunch money. All right? That's not even a contest. You're right on Cole. Cole against whoever. Cole. The small forward position, again, is their thinnest. Yes, Ron Artest is a beast defensively. He can put pressure on a lot of guys, and he can take a lot of guys out of it. But where are the Clippers strong? Where are they strongest? Point guard and inside. Ron ain't helping. He doesn't help. His impact is null and void. He's guarding Caron Butler. He's chasing around Grant Hill. He's chasing around Lamar Odom. He's chasing around Jamal Crawford. all of those guys, again, are complementary players, and there are four of them for one.
I got to cut you off, man.
Go ahead.
You're a contradiction in every other sentence. You talk about Antoine being 36, but I was watching Lamar Odom when I was in junior high.
Lamar Odom's not 36.
He's old. Did you see Lamar
last 36.
Year? What did Lamar do last year? You tell me.
Lamar had a mental issue.
And you think he's overcome that? How old do you think Grant Hill is? He was a star when Penny Hardaway was a star. Penny ain't been a star in this league in damn near a decade.
I say Grant Hill has more value at this time of his career, even at 39, 40 years old, than Antoine Jameson. Antoine Jameson was a relevant NBA player as basketball player?
The one point where I stand corrected is he didn't average a double-double. I was thinking of the year before. He did, however, average 17 points and almost 7 rebounds a game, standing at 6.3. Grant didn't do that.
On the Cleveland Cavaliers, where he shot 40% from the field, 68% from the free throw line. Come on, man.
He did better than Grant Hill last year. Grant didn't average 17. He barely gave
Grant didn't need to average 17.
He did.
Grant was
a
more functional NBA player. What does Antoine Jameson do well at this point in his career?
This goes back to Joe Johnson, James Harden.
No, answer that question. What does Antoine Jameson do well at this point in his career? Grant Hill is one of the top wing defenders in the league.
He shoots. The guy has the ball in his hands. Ladies,
don't say he shoots
minutes.
With incredible efficiency because
Listen
I just ran off his shooting numbers.
You just cut me off is what you did. You just cut me off is what you
Somebody
did.
Need to cut off Jameson when he's going to put up that 18-footer.
No. When I say incredible efficiency, I'm not looking at percentages. But if you look at his career percentages, he's up there with the best of them. What I'm telling you is the guy has the ball in his hands less than a couple minutes a game, but he scores buckets. If you look at his points per minute and the efficiency in which he scores, whether he misses a lot and gets his own board or not, the man is still a problem. And the one thing he does bring that you haven't yet touched upon because you're so caught up in these numbers is his leadership ability. You ask any GM in the league, they want a guy like Antoine Jameson on his team. You talk about chemistry issues. You talk about chemistry issues with the Lakers. You got seasoned veterans. You got multiple MVPs in both Nash and Kobe. You got veteran leadership in Antoine Jameson. You got the best center in the game in Dwight Howard. I promise you, my brother, the Los Angeles Lakers are 10 times better than Los Angeles Clippers, and it will show come June. They've always been better. They'll continue to be better. And we better move on to the next subject. We can stay on this for the next 58 minutes, 48 minutes, however much longer we got.
First off, I got to give a quick footnote. The only time Antoine Jameson has ever gotten out of the second round of the playoffs is when he played with LeBron James. Great leadership, though.
Yeah, great leadership. Great leaders lose sometimes. Absolutely.
Not consistently throughout your career.
He's not the alpha male.
You've only been to the second round of the playoffs once.
He's not the alpha male in the NBA. We know that.
That's all I'm saying.
Move on. What's next?
D-Will. Where you at?
D-Will. What's next? Well, since D-Will doesn't know what's next, I do. I know the Lakers will make the playoffs at a higher seed than the Clippers, and they will get further than the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals.
Hey, it's on tape, so we're going to revisit that. That's gonna be a battle all year that me and you just going to have. The battle for L.A., right? They made a movie about it. We're going to make it into a radio show. The next thing we got is teams on the rise. I'm going to let you lead this one off, Justin. Give us your teams on the rise for 2012-13.
Okay. I got three teams on the rise, and I hate to say the last one given our the last segment of this show. So, the Clippers is my last one, and I hate to even say it now to give you any kind of credence. Okay. However,
it's not about what I think, it's about what you think right now.
My team's on the rise. I've got the Golden State Warriors. I really like their front court and what they have the ability to do if they stay healthy with David Lee, the old school veteran, and Carl Landry and Andrew Bogut. Obviously, Bogut has had some injury issues in the past, and he's still getting over, you know, a bum elbow. But if you get Bogut healthy, David Lee healthy, with Harrison Barnes coming in, a veteran who's a proven winner in this league, and Richard Jefferson, I think they've got a formidable front court. Not to mention, they got some studs in the backcourt the Cats sleep on. Steph, if he stays healthy. Klay Thompson's an up-and-coming scorer and shooter in this league. Jared Jack, who took Georgia Tech to the Final Four in his day and who's been a solid, not great, but a solid point guard in this league throughout his tenure. I really like where Mark Jackson is taking the direction of the Golden State Warriors. So that's my first team on the rise. I'll let you comment before I go to team number two.
All right. I like that pick. You know, the Golden State Warriors, I think if they can get – I think their chances will obviously hinge on the health of Andrew Bogut, who when he plays is a very solid big man, one of the better defensive big men in the league. Which is a problem that they've had in Golden State for quite some time as defending. If Steph Curry is healthy, I have him as one of my players that will take the leap when we get to talking about guys who are going to make that jump from being good players to great players, or from being great players to, you know, that upper crust of the league kind of player. I think he's going to go from good to great this year if he can be healthy. But I love that pick. I like that pick. I'm with you on Golden State. I'm thinking that there are a lot of pieces in place for them to make a move, to make a jump. They have some depth. They're young in all the right spots in the backcourt with Thompson and Curry. That's probably one of the best shooting, if not the best shooting backcourt in the league. So I feel you. I'm with you on that.
Okay. For once, we agree. I love the fact that we do agree, but however, you know, the best shooting backcourt in the league, I'd have to, you know, contest that to some degree, because I don't think there's a better backcourt than D. Wills and Joe Johnson. But I'm not going to go there right now. I'm going to move into my next team on the rise, which is my hometown, the Atlanta Hawks. I think we got better by subtraction. However, as great as Joe was for my Atlanta Hawks, I feel as if, by getting rid of his contract, gives us the cap space to get players in the future, and it allows more opportunities for who I feel were the best players on the team, and Josh Smith, Jay Smoove, and Al Horford to come into their own, so to speak. And I think that between Jay Smoove and Al, we got a tough front court. I think Jeff Teague is an underrated point guard who has Rondo-like tendencies when he has the ability. When Joe's not, you know, hogging the ball and taking the jump shots that we all know he takes after he dribbles the ball for 14 seconds off the shot clock, I really like Atlanta's ability to contend for a top four spot in the Eastern Conference.
Atlanta? Sorry, fellas. I had to go get cocaine. I was trying to bring him. he was, and I saw that y'all were going. I said, I got to go get cocaine to control this, and came back. But Atlanta, I'm gonna let y'all go back. So I'm gonna let you respond to that game changer.
He didn't want to get out of his bowl of gunpowder. You know, we feed cocaine gunpowder out here. You know, we feed them gunpowder. ATL, I we agree, man. I actually think this was an addition by a subtraction. Again, you highlighted on another team that has one of my guys who I think is going to take a leap, going from good to great, and that's Al Horford. Al Horford, I've always liked the way he's approached the game, the way he's played the game. And, you know, I've always felt like he had more offensively than he has shown, and he played his role. I think that role is going to expand this year, and we're going to get to see more of what he can do. You put him and Josh Smith together on the front line, and boy, oh boy, that's a solid front line. And you surround them with shooters like Anthony Morrow, Kyle Korver, and with penetrating guards like Devin Harris and Jeff Teague. And then you got Lou Williams, who's a bucket getter. You know, he chucks him, but he's a bucket getter. And you always need that guy that can go get you a bucket. And I think they have a good mix. And I think they actually, you know, have less duplication of, of services right now. I think they have guys, again, they have guys who can be in defined roles, who have skill sets that seem like, you know, looking from afar, we haven't seen the work of model of what they're going to do yet, but from afar, it looks like they mesh together. So I actually like Atlanta. You know, I had them as one of my teams, and I'm crossing off teams on my list that just highlighting so I can highlight some different teams. But they were a team that were on my list of teams that, not necessarily on the rise, but I think they were going to outplay their perception. They were going to play better than what people think they're going to be because they lost Joe. Joe was a great player for them. He did a lot for them. But I think, you know, his leaving opens up some room for some of the a guy like Al Horford, a guy like Jay Smooth, to really kind of – now we can get to see their full arsenal of what they can do. You disagree, so I'm going to let you jump in.
No, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think they're going to need some time to mesh. And I told you, I mean, I think Danny Ferry is early in the club, you know, in terms of early in the shoot for executive of the year. And so I like the direction they're going in. I just think because of some of the other teams that might be on the rise in the East, they have some challenges. I mean, in their division, they definitely can take care and eat up in there. But I'm just interested how long it's going to take them to gel. But I agree with your analysis. I'm thinking it might take them a little longer to gel than most people.
What time do they eat? They got the same core, minus Joe. And Joe is the only reason that the ball used to stop. People call Carmelo Anthony a ball stopper. That's Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson is the epitome of a
but
ball
I go with the, I go with the, I understand, Justin, but I go with the old Hubie Brown. And people always used to say, you know, people think, you know, more exposure, more minutes is more production. And so, yeah, Joe was a ball stopper, but Joe was also the person that had to be in a position to make some things happen. And so, again, when you don't have Joe there to blame and you have to step up into the spotlight, that's a whole different thing when you have to be the man.
Well, how
do you react when you're the man?
Let me end it with this right here. Josh Smith, Jay Smooth as we call him, was on V103 today, and they asked him, are you ready to put the team on your shoulders? He said, and I quote, I've been doing a lot of squats this offseason. Let's go.
and I understand that till the lights come on.
I mean, the guy's been averaging almost a double-double the last 3 years. Should have been an all-star the last two. I'd like to see his progression.
I agree with you, but a double-double in leadership to take you to the two different things. A lot of guys are stat stuffers. But moving somebody to that next level is more than just your stats. It's how you get other people to commit to playing. It's the locker room stuff. It ain't what he can do on the floor. It's how he's getting those folks to buy in to winning. That's going to the next level.
That's coach's job, if you ask me.
That's not coach's job. That's star's job. Stars do that. It's not Mike Brown's job alone. That's Kobe does that. He assumes that. Chris Paul assumes that responsibility. Will Josh Smith assume that? I digress. I will move to. I'm saying those are the things that remain to be seen.
Okay, so I got to get my teams on the rise. All right, I got a couple.
Get your teams on the rise.
My first team is the Utah Jazz. You know, this is a team, again, where there are a lot of parts that do the same thing, and they've managed to be successful. I think they picking up Mo Williams isn't a great player. He's a solid player. He's a solid NBA player. I think he was a better fit for this team, given what they need, a floor spacer at the point position, somebody who can still handle the ball, but they needed somebody who was more of a floor spacer than Devin Harris. Devin is a slasher, get to the basket kind of dude. He's not much of a he can stroke it, but he's not a shooter. He's not a shooter. Mo's a better shooter, so I think he fits in better. You add in Gordon Hayward, Alec Burks, young wings who are developing. Gordon Hayward really took a step toward the end of last season. You began to see him develop again, another perimeter scorer, another shooter, and then on the block, this is one of the deepest teams in the league in the front court. When you talk about Al Jefferson, Paul Millsap, Favors, Enes Kanter, they have two young guys and two vets who are highly productive and two young guys behind them. This is a team that I think is going to do well because of their depth up front. They're going to be able to really bully people. Ty Corbin began to establish a style of play with this team at the end of last season. I think they got to keep that going. We may see this team make a big trade because both Jefferson and Millsap are on expiring deals. So they're also going to be in position to move one of these guys, bring in some more pieces. And if they ever have an opportunity to open up some playing time for those two young bigs, particularly Favors, that's a monster in the making. And if he gets an opportunity this season, I think that team is gonna, you're going to see that team kind of take another step because he adds some defensive dimensions to that team that they don't get from Jefferson and Millsap. But Jefferson's an amazing scorer as far as his capabilities on the low block, scoring, efficient, creative, great footwork. But defensively, he's not the bookend that you need. So that's one team. So I'll let Justin, if he has any comments on the Jazz, give his insight.
Oh, man, fellas, I think we're going to go longer than an hour. I hate to say it, listeners. I know you tuned in for an hour, but you may need to give us an hour and a half because I don't like anything about the Utah Jazz. I think that their backcourt is suspect at best. I don't respect Mo Williams. When Mo Williams went to Cleveland, they said, oh, he's the piece that's going to put Cleveland over the edge. Then when Cleveland didn't get over the edge, Cats sold their stock on Mo Williams. They shipped him to Clippers. Clippers shipped him to Utah. He became a journeyman. Gordon Hayward is a poor man's J.J. Redick. Who's he going to defend at the two-guard position? You telling me a team's going to win with Gordon Hayward guarding Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, your man James Harden, Joe Johnson? He's one of the worst two guards in the league. Marvin Williams was the Atlanta Hawks sloppy seconds. My Hawks could have had Chris Paul, but they drafted this bum Marvin Williams instead. He stinks. They've got two players. Matter of fact, I'm going to go your number on you. They got one and a half players. Al Jeff is a beast. I'll give you that. But Paul Millsap is a half of a player because he's not who you think he is. He could put up gaudy numbers at times, and when he goes up against a formidable forward, he shrinks in the big moment. I don't like nothing about the Utah Jazz other than Al Jeff, and Al Jeff can't get it done because no guard on that team can get him the ball. So I have to sell your stock on the Utah Jazz. I apologize, humbly.
Gabe Chater, I think the one thing when I was looking at the Jazz and trying to do that was my one area – where I was, because I thought I look at Devin Harris as a better floor general, and
who's Devin Harris play for now?
Atlanta. So I will give you that. Oh, but okay. I did look like Devin Harris is a better floor general, and I thought, you know, I was trying to figure out who's going to run that. You got what, Randy Foyle? You got some pieces there, but I feel like, you know, a lot of these guys need they need to be put in the shots. They need to be placed at spots on the floor to score well. And are they losing that? Yeah, they're gaining the spacing, but are they losing a point guard who can actually get some of these guys? Because not as many of them, I feel like, are going to create their own shot. They're going to be in space where you're setting up to get their shot. So that was what I believe their team on the rise, but I felt, I don't know if it was a zero-sum game what they did in the backcourt.
All valid statements. This was an 8 seed in the playoff last year, so they can guard well enough. They can guard well enough. I think they'll still be a playoff team this season. I think they're going to play inside out, and so they don't need that penetrating guard. They're going to dump the ball into the post. They're going to play back to the basket, post basketball, which you don't see a lot in the league because everybody's playing pick and roll ball. I think you're going to see them dump it in because they have so many bigs who can actually play with their back, as Shaq would say, true centers. All right? They got guys who are true centers, so they don't have to play that pick-and-roll game, and it's not going to be point guard-centric. It's going to be a different kind of style, a different kind of system. And I think that's going to give them an advantage over teams because they actually are going to dump the ball in and make you play post defense. I bet that by the end of the season, they're going to shoot. They're going to be one of the top free throw shooting teams in the league because they're going to really pound people. They're going to play physical. Again, don't forget, you got to be able to bang people. They got the horses to bang. What they lack on the perimeter, they make up for in the paint. And you still got to be able to get buckets around it. You still got to be able to get some easy baskets around the bucket. And they have enough dogs to put bodies on people and keep people out of the lane. Again, Favors is a emerging monster defensively. He's a Dwight Howard light right now. And he's going to show up that back end. Cantor also is a solid defensive post player. So I think they're going to have – yes, they're going to have some deficiencies. They're not a contender. You know, they're not a contending team. They're not a top 10 team. They're going to be better than they were last year. And having Mo Williams, I think, is going to help that because, again, they're going to play inside out, which means they need guys who are going to give those post players space to operate. It's going to allow Paul Millsap a little bit more room to do what he does. Maybe he looks a little bit more efficient. Why? Because the point guard ain't helping now because he's got to stay home. So I hear what y'all are saying.
All right, fellas. I'm not going to let y'all Mitt Romney me. I got to be the moderator. You're going to take control of it. And so
we're
going
to
move this thing on.
I want to address that for a moment. That's what Mitt was doing.
So we're going to move on. So we set in the context here. We got teams on the rise. Now we're going to move into the segment around top five players who are about to make that leap from good to great. What I want y'all to do is I'm going to have you name your five, write them down. I'll have each of you put your five down, and then I'll allow each of you a few minutes to pick away at the other person's five or make a judgment on that. So, Game Changers, you just finished. I'm going to go to Justin. Give me your top five players who you think are going to go from that good to great this year.
So let me just clarify. You just want the five with no explanation, and then we'll handle that once we tell you our five.
You can give your explanation with each of your five, but we're not going to have anybody go back and forth and judge the five that you say. So get your five out, your rationale for those five. Then Game Changer put his five out, rationale for those five. And then I will give each of you a couple minutes to talk about the five of the other person.
You know what, D. Wills? My five are so legit, I don't even need to rationalize it, okay? I'm going number one, Jay Smooth, Josh Smith, Atlanta Hawks, need I say more.
Got
robbed for the All-Star game the past 2 years. He will be there this year. Mark my words. Number two, Greg Monroe, third year in the league. Average a double-double last year. He's going to take the Pistons to heights that nobody saw Detroit going to. Number three, Kentucky's second-best player in this decade, behind Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins. Number four, LaMarcus Aldridge. Hampered with that hip injury, he didn't, first-time All-Star last year, but he didn't quite hit that elite level. But I think he's power forward that's on the rise. Last but not least, I got Kyrie Irving, rookie of the year last year. I think sky's the limit for that kid. He'll be a top five point guard by the time the year is over with.
All right. Game changer, you're five.
All right. First up on my five, I got Ty Lawson for the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets are going to be a much improved team this year, and Ty Lawson will be their best player. He's an efficient scorer. He's lightning with the ball. Ty Lawson is going to go from being a good player to being a great player this year. Next on my list, Rajon Rondo. Again, I know people are probably scratching their head. Wait a minute. Rondo's already great. No, he's not. All right? Rondo has been a complimentary player to this point in his career. There are lots of things that Rajon Rondo can't do. This is the year that Rajon Rondo has to become a great player. He has to become a great player for Boston to be successful. You can't count on Paul. You can't count on KG to carry the load anymore. He's the face of the franchise now. He has to carry the squad. I'm expecting that he'll be able to do that. I'm expecting his scoring to increase. His assist numbers may go down because he's not going to be pitching back layups like he does. You know, he's stat pads, all right? The brother's stat pads. He does. How many layups has he given up? The guy is trailing him. So Rondo is a guy who I think not only will he go from good to great, but he has to go from good to great. Another guy on my list, Al Horford. Al Horford was hurt last year. People kind of forgot about how good of a big man Al is. Al is one of those guys who does his job, does his work, has won at every level he's played at. He's been successful. I think that he's taken a backseat. I think this is a guy who has a lot of talent, who kind of stepped back and played in the background because that's what his team asked him to do. He's an unselfish player. He's a winner. He wants to win. He wants to do what it takes to win. I think with more responsibility, he's going to grow. He's going to fall right into that, and you're going to see him really blossom and become one of the better big men in the league. Another guy on my list, Steph Curry. Again, health has really hampered what Steph has been able to do thus far in his career. When he's played, he's been very efficient, very effective point at the point guard spot. I'm hoping that this year he's healthy. If he's healthy, he goes from good to great. The next player I got is Paul George, shooting guard for Indiana. 6'10", lanky, can handle the ball, can shoot the three, a 6'10", two guard. He's like the next version of Tracy McGrady. He has to become more aggressive, and he has to be willing to put the ball on the floor more and attack the basket. If he does that with his defensive capabilities, as he has the potential to be one of the best two-way players in the league, a matchup nightmare. He may be one of the only guys who can go straight up, head up, and actually challenge KD on a nightly basis as far as being able to somewhat check Kevin Durant. Nobody can really check that dude. But given his quickness, his length, he physically he looks like he could be a good matchup for KD. So those are my guys, Paul George, Steph Curry, Al Horford, Rajon Rondo, and Ty Lawson.
All right, Justin, I'll give you a chance, a minute or two to look at that, analyze, pick out what you think is challenging.
Well, I appreciate that, D. Wells, because I think that as much as I respect Game Changer and his list, I think he's reaching with saying Paul George can challenge KD. I think that's laughable. I think it's inappropriate for the game of basketball, and I don't think that there's any plausibility to that. First and foremost, however, I like Paul George. He got bounce. He can dunk the basketball. He can score in multitude of ways. I don't think he's up there on. I don't think it's appropriate to use him, KD, him, LeBron, or anybody in the same sentence. However, I love his Al Horford pick. I love his Steph Curry pick. And quite frankly, I love his Rajon Rondo pick. He thought that people would scratch their heads, which most may. However, I won't, because I've been the one having the argument for years with my peers that Rajon Rondo is not who you think he is. I think he benefits from playing with Hall of Famers who you know, slightly past their prime. However, they're still bona fide all-stars, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen. And he was a fourth option. And kind of like James Harden, when you're the third, fourth option, the sky's the limits for you. Therefore, Rajon Rondo's been getting away with, he's kind of like fool's gold. Again, I use this term one of my first shows with you guys. It's kind of like makeup on women. He's fool's gold. Once they take the makeup off, these girls aren't who you think they are. Rajon Rondo, once you take away the Hall of Famers, Ray Allen's gone. KG's a year older. He's almost 40. Paul Pierce is the only bona fide all-star that he's playing with.
They are who we thought they were.
Rondo's not who you think he is. So when he's asked to do more, he's not going to be able to do it. So I think he has the ability to be great once he works on that jump shot, once he works on actually scoring the basketball, which I don't think he has the ability to do. I got him at bottom-tier top 10 point guard, which is still, a great attribute. If you're a top 10 at anything in a professional sport, you're a good guy in my book. I just don't place him as high as everybody else does. So I agree with Game Changer there. And I like Ty Lawson's game. I just don't see Denver doing much. You know, if they make the playoffs, it'll be an 8 seed. And you know, I like Ty Lawson's game, but he doesn't have the supporting cast.
All right, you listen to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com. This is our Real Sports Guys NBA preview. We're here with the Game Changer and our RSG NBA expert analyst, Justin Page. We've been having a spirited discussion. We're going to go until the hour mark, and then we'll, for your podcast listeners, we're going to go deep. We'll give you a little bonus round. If you download, you can download probably up until about an hour or two after the show, but you can get through iTunes. But we'll definitely post this, but this has been incredible stuff. So Game Changer. Justin had his players on the rise, and I'll give you a chance to kind of look at what he had. He had Josh Smith, he had Greg Monroe, DeMarcus Cousins, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Kyrie Irving. What's your reaction to that list?
Jay Smooth, 100% agreement. 100% agreement. Similar to the same logic I had with Al Horford. Some things are going to open up for him. It's his opportunity to shine. This is a dude that is one of the most physically gifted players, a very highly skilled player. I expect a lot out of Josh Smith this year.
You can call him Jay Smooth. It's okay.
LaMarcus Aldridge is a pick I like. I agree. LaMarcus Aldridge is a great player, I think, already. I don't think he has any more room to grow as far as taking that next step, which would be becoming an elite player. I think he's great right now. So I'm feeling you on that. DeMarcus Cousins, the kid's got a ton of talent. You know, I just worry about that whole environment in Sacramento. It's a rudderless environment right now. If there's a player in the league who needs somebody to sculpt and mold them and teach them how to be a pro, it's DeMarcus Cousins. Because I think you're right. I think when you put Cousins on this list, you saw the potential for Cousins to be a 2010 scorer at the center power forward position, and he has that potential. I mean, he could be 20-12 even. Will he reach it? The dude is so temperamental. I mean, we thought Rasheed Wallace was sensitive. He's just so temperamental. And he's not in an environment where there's a lot of structure, where there's a lot of tradition, where there's a lot of vet leadership. If you put him on a team like the Spurs, I guarantee he reaches his full potential. You know, you put him in an environment like Boston or on a team like the Heat, where there's some guys there who created a culture that's about winning. You got a monster on your hands. But Sacramento, they don't even know if they want to be in Sacramento as an organization. I mean, they're looking all over the place for a home. You know, might as well call them the Seattle Sonics, because that's probably where they wind up in a hot minute. Who else did he have? Yeah, Smooth, Cousins, Aldridge.
And Irving, Kyrie.
Kyrie, yeah, Kyrie's a beast. I'm a Kyrie fan. I'm definitely a Kyrie fan. I didn't have him on my list because I tried to kind of stick to guys who are going to be in a position to be in front of everybody on playoff teams. Kyrie, in my opinion, I already got him as one of my top 25 guys in the league. I think he's already a great player. I think for him, the next step is just becoming an elite and entering that Chris Paul, Derrick Rose, you know, top point guard, D. Will conversation. I think that's the next stage of his development. That's his next evolution, is putting himself in that conversation as one of the top five point guards in the league. The kid's a beast. So you had Kyrie and who else?
That's it right there. But let me just comment real quick. You got Kyrie Irving and James Harden in your top 25. Your top 25 is as flawed as the day is long. Game changer. I have to tell you that. As much as I respect Kyrie and James Harden, there's no way they can be in the top 25. I gave you the top 25 to start the show.
Man, and that top 25 has Steve Nash in it.
2000
Nash ain't top 25 no more. I told you that list is
flawed.
He didn't even put. He didn't even get his team in the playoffs.
He had me, you, and D. Wills on the team, and a blind man.
Man, get out of here, man.
You kidding
me? He didn't
even
bring a team to the playoffs. He probably the only top 25 player on that list the team didn't make the playoffs.
It was Steve Nash, me, you, D.
Go through that list again, and we'll see how many of those top 20. Probably the only other guy is Kevin Love. Probably the only other guy on that list the team didn't make the playoffs.
That is true. What's your point? He's still
He's probably not even a top five point guard right now.
Oh, my God. Game changer. He averaged a double-double, second in the league in assists. Are you kidding me? Empty numbers.
He's a one-way player at this point in his career. He plays one end of the court. That's not top 25. He's got Dwight Howard backing him up right now.
He only has to play one end of the court.
Lord have mercy. Go somewhere.
Well, hey, fellas, this is what we're going to do. Folks, you have half to – if you're an NBA junkie, this has been incredible, but we're not done. We're gonna pay the bills. We're going to come back. We're going to introduce the two onion, the bold picks that both of these gentlemen have for the year to kind of close out this live segment. And then the podcast, we're going to have a discussion about those bold picks. And then we're going to have each of the guys are going to break down each conference. They're going to list their top eight, and you can't miss that. And so you need to download this. If you enjoy what you're hearing now, these gentlemen have agreed to stay and make it happen because they're pros like that. So we're going to pay some bills, come back, get the onions, and then we're going to go into the after hours so they can really get at it for a little bit. And this is going to be, if you got iTunes, you need to download this because this one's going to be hot. But we're going to go and pay some bills with Resistance Digital.
Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
Well, you're here with the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com. This has been an incredible show. We're closing out the live segment of the show with the two bold picks and the two onion picks. And then we're going to go into the after hours and do the rankings of the top eight. We're going to make the playoffs for each conference and enjoy. It's been a great show to have you two gentlemen. Justin, we're going to start with your bold pick.
My bold pick, one or two?
Two.
All right. My bold picks, the Miami Heat will lose the NBA World Championship to the Los Angeles Lakers in seven games. They will lose because the Los Angeles Lakers will have home court advantage in game seven, and Dwight Howard's going to be too much to stop. That's number one. Number two. Hasn't happened in over a decade. The New York Knicks will win their first playoff series in over a decade. Carmelo Anthony will lead his team to the second round for the first time in his tenure in the NBA, and they will beat the Indiana Pacers and or the Atlanta Hawks, which I hate to say, in the first round of the NBA playoffs.
All right, y'all. I'm not even going to go to the game changer right now because I know we got a reaction. We're going to have a reaction to that, and it's going to cause something that might not have something to it. So we gonna head to the after hours. We'll see you on the other side on the podcast, and we'll get the reaction. Stay tuned. All right, welcome to the After Hours. This is the Real Sports Guys NBA preview show. It's been an exciting hour plus, and we're in After Hours. And Justin just laid out his bold picks. Justin, can you lay those bold picks out again for the folks?
Absolutely. My bold pick is that the Miami Heat will lose in Game 7 to the Los Angeles Lakers this year. In the NBA Finals. Come June, Kobe will be crowned number 6 and will be right up there with Mr. Michael Jordan. Number 2, the New York Knicks will win their first playoff series in over a decade. They haven't won since Patrick Ewing, and I think Carmelo Anthony has the ability to do that this year, depending on the matchup.
All right, game changer. I'll give you a quick reaction. What's your reaction to that?
The Knicks one could happen. That's a possibility. I don't like the Knicks though. I don't like the way their roster is constructed. I think, you know, I'll get into this when I talk about the Eastern Conference. But I think at best they're a seven seed, and they may be able to sneak in and knock off. If they get to 6, they may be able to knock off whoever's in the 3 spot. The 3 spot to me is up for grabs in the East. The Lakers defeating the Heat, I obviously disagree. I don't think the Lakers are going to have what it takes to make it to the finals. I think they're going to be a great regular season team. But I think, again, their depth in a 7-game series, their lack of being able to defend the point guard position, their lack of being able to really run with athletic teams, play at a quicker pace. I think in a 7-game series, they don't have the flexibility in their lineup to really cause the matchup problems that you need to be able to cause to defeat a Miami, for one, let alone beat an OKC or the Clippers.
You and these Clippers.
Oh, just wait.
That's it. So, game changer, your bold prediction.
My bold prediction, the Los Angeles Clippers will have a better season than the Los Angeles Lakers. They will win the Pacific Division, and they will have a higher seed in the playoffs than the Los Angeles Lakers.
I'd like to make a bet on air. We got it on tape. How about this? Whoever wins this bet shaves their head bald on radio,
I'm already bald.
Well, let's do something different.
I shave off my beard. I've never shaved off my beard since I've been able to grow one. I've never shaved it. And I haven't had no facial hair since I was probably, 17. So I've cut off my mustache. My children have never
you
seen the father.
You shave your beard, I shave my head, and we'll put it on YouTube. All of our Real Sports Guys fans that follow us, we can do it on YouTube for everybody to see.
Bet.
Now, do you have to consult the women in
your
lives?
Who is the king of Los Angeles? It is the Lakers.
It's Battle for L.A., baby. Battle for L.A. They made the movie. You make the radio show.
Okay, all right, game changer. Number 2. Heard it here. We're going to have YouTube specials coming up here.
Number 2. All right, my number 2 pick. Again, I'm going to focus on the Eastern Conference when I talk about my playoff, my top 8. So my bold predictions are in the West. My other bold prediction is that the Minnesota Timberwolves are no worse, and this was before K-Love got hurt, but I had them at no worse than a 5 seed. Right now, I'm just going to say they're going to be a playoff team, surefire playoff team. I know K-Love is out for the first month, but he'll be back. Rubio come back with the pieces they've added, Brandon Roy, Kirilenko. They're going to be a playoff team. So that's my other bold prediction. The Minnesota Timberwolves will make the playoffs for the first time in a long time.
Absolutely laughable. Absolutely laughable.
We say
absolutely laughable. You got to be kidding me. These guys stink. They've stunk since they drafted 2-point guards in the draft 3 years ago, one who's no longer with the team, and Johnny Flynn, and Ricky Rubio, who knows when he's going to come back. Your two-star players and Kevin Love and Rubio, who knows when they're going to play another game for this team. Derek Williams underachieved last year. AK-47, I like his game. He's all right, but he's not who you think he is. He did good for Utah. He was solid. You're going to bank your
They are who we thought they were.
You're going to bank your pick on a guy who's solid? Like, really? Game changer, you're smarter than that. I respect you so much more than that. Are you really going there right now?
Absolutely.
Minnesota
Dallas is backing up.
Hold on.
Minnesota's in the playoffs.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to go down a quick list real quick because I know we're short for time. Are you telling
me? Let's because you already going to lay up because we going to have to list the West. So you have to list the West. So why don't we do this, Justin? Because that's going to create the context. You are supposed to give the 8 in the West. So why don't you give the 8 in the West, and this will create the conversation around Minnesota. So why don't you give your 8, the top 8 in the West?
I like it. So, I got Los Angeles Lakers number 1 in the West. I got OKC number 2. I got Memphis, who is my team on the rise, as number 3. I like what Michael Conley's doing at the point. I like their front court and my man Z-Bo, who's from Saginaw, Michigan, and played for Michigan State, and who averaged a double-double 2 years ago before he got injured, alongside Paul Gasol's little brother, Mark Gasol. Memphis, I like them at the 3 spot. I got game changes, L.A. Clippers at the 4 spot, 3 spots behind the L.A. Lakers. And I got San Antonio, who was last year's number 1, slipping to number 5 due to age and due to all the things that come with. Nobody beats Father Time at the end of the day. I got number 6, Denver. I got number 7, Portland. They've got a superstar in LaMarcus Aldridge. And my number 8 sleeper is the Golden State Warriors.
So game changer. I know you talked a little bit about Utah being an up-and-coming team, and you have Minnesota making the playoffs. Which teams would you knock out of that group to get Minnesota in there?
None of them. He can't.
Portland and Golden State. Portland, you know, and I actually root for the Blazers because they have a guy from the hometown, Wesley Matthews, representing Madison product. But I just don't think they have enough. You know, they're going to be relying heavily on a couple of rookies. You're right. Aldridge is a stud. Aldridge is a surefire stud. He's a top 15, maybe higher player in the league. There's no doubt about that, but that's all they got right now. They have nothing around him we're still waiting on Nicholas Batum to do more than just give us 13-5 on a nightly basis. And at this point in his career, who knows if he's going to do anything more. I mean, he's shown flashes, but that's all he's shown is flashes. Damian Lillard looks like a good player, but he's still a rook. He's still a rookie point guard at that. So there's going to be some ups and downs. Wesley Matthews is a great player, good shooter, good defensive player, but he's limited. They don't have a solid big behind Aldridge to really allow him to play his four spot. They drafted Myers Leonard, who is a project, very athletic kid from the University of Illinois. But who knows how that'll translate to the pros. We all know it takes bigs a little bit longer to develop. I don't think Portland is there right now. Golden State is in the mix. But, again, they have a lot of questions. You know, what are they going to get from Harrison Barnes? You know, is Curry going to be healthy? Is Bogut going to be healthy? If Bogut or Curry go down, then they're what they were last year, which is, you know, a team that's sitting outside of the playoffs. If they have both of those guys for an extended period of time, they're a different team, and they have a shot to get in. I think Utah, Minnesota, and Golden State are going to be competing for that 7-8 spot. I think Minnesota, with a healthy Love when he gets back, a healthy Rubio when he gets back, they have more in place to be in the mix. I like Minnesota over Portland. I like Minnesota over Golden State. And I think it's a toss-up between Golden State and Utah.
All right. So we got the good discussion. Game changer. Give me your top eight in the East.
Top eight in the East. 1 seed, I got the Miami Heat. 2 seed, I got the Boston Celtics. 3 seed. The 3 seed got a little it was for me, this spot is a toss up. There are 3 teams, possibly 4, that I think could be that the 3 through 7, the 3 through 6 spot is, in my opinion, interchangeable in the East. I actually have Chicago at the 3 spot, minus Derrick Rose. I still think that's a really good regular season team. As far as winning games in the playoffs, that's a whole nother season. That's a whole nother vibe, a whole nother deal. But as far as being a regular season team and night in, night out, bringing a consistent effort and being able to win games in the regular season, the Bulls can do that without Derrick Rose, as they've proven. Because, again, they're not going up against the Heat and Celtics on a nightly basis on the regular season. There's going to be games against the Raptors, the Bobcats, the Wizards. So I got them at the 3 seed. I got BK behind them. I got Philly at 5, Indy at 6, Atlanta at 7, New York at 8.
So I didn't hear Atlanta, right?
No, I had
Atlanta
at 7.
You said 11, Atlanta 7.
Yeah, Atlanta 7. Okay, that's right. Okay. So any surprises with that one, Justin?
Let me ask you this, Mr. Moderator. Did you call out Atlanta because of me and my hometown allegiance?
No. I didn't do that. We were talking about Atlanta. I thought they'd be a 3 seed, but I digress.
I would argue that Atlanta has the ability to be a 3 seed. It could be between 3 and 6 with Atlanta. As I agree with Game Changer 100%. I got Miami number 1. Boston number 2, number 3, 4, 5, 6 are for grabs. The way I have it listed on my draft board, I got Miami at number 1, Boston at number 2, Brooklyn number 3, because I like the backcourt in Brooklyn and I like the continuity in which they've constructed their team. I think they got a formidable center in Brook Lopez. I think I like Gerald Wallace. Chris Humphreys, who's become a walking double-double, for lack of a better term. I got Indiana at 4. I got Atlanta at 5. New York at 6. New York and Atlanta could easily flip-flop for 5 or 6. Philly at 7 with the addition of Andrew Bynum. They digress a little bit because they lose the athleticism from Iguodala. And the biggest change in the Eastern Conference, I don't have Chicago to 8 because I don't trust them without Derrick Rose. Love Tom Thibodeau. Love what he does with his defense. Loves how he makes his big men rebound. But without D. Rose, who knows what Chicago's going to be. So I dropped them all the way from number 1 last year to number 8 this year. And I think that it's going to be a hell of a series between them and Miami when D. Rose is back, although Miami wins ultimately. That's my Eastern
All right. Olympics. Gentlemen, I'm going to tell you this. It's been an incredible experience having y'all do what y'all do. If y'all want this podcast, you need to you can continue to get things in iTunes. You can go to we're going to get segments here. We'll be at realsportsguys.com. It's been an incredible time with you, gentlemen. I want to thank you for it. And then we're going to try and come back again and revisit this as we go through the season. We'll find a segment in time where we can bring y'all together and do, you know, a special NBA update. Is that something y'all love to do? I know the folks out there would love to hear y'all again, especially getting a sense about who's going to have to do something with that hair or that beard that we're going to do on YouTube.
Absolutely.
But
book it
we love to check in with y'all throughout the season and bring y'all together and to make this happen. But thank you to all our listeners. This is realsportsguys.com. Real Sports Guys. We're out. Until next time.